Now, I've been going to Prague, to Czechoslovakia, for almost half a century. First visit, the Soviet tanks had just rolled out of town, having crushed the Prague Spring, which gave hope to a generation, a desperate generation of young commies like myself. And more recently, I joined a vast throng of people who marched through that most beautiful of cities. And I think it's arguable that Prague is the most beautiful city in Europe, chanting Havel to the Palace. Well, all of a sudden, things have changed. Well, perhaps it hasn't been sudden, but it's news to me. And let me tell you about it. We've become used to hearing the views of our own populist, anti-immigrant, anti-Islam, Polly and Pauline, but can she compete with one of the Czech Republic's Freedom and Democracy Party, Mr. Tomio Okamura, who did quite well in Saturday's Czech election? He wants the Czechs to walk pigs near mosques and stop eating kebabs. But that's just one of the odd things about the recent election. The Czechs have a comparatively booming economy, comparatively few Muslims, yet the incumbent government got booted out and replaced by a prime minister who the Western media has dubbed the Czech Trump, although perhaps Berlusconi might be a closer parallel. And as I mentioned, his name is Andrej Babiš, a billionaire with a dubious past. Now, what happened in the Czech Republic at the weekend? Joining us from Prague is freelance Canadian journalist Michael Colburn. Michael, welcome to our Little Wireless program.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Michael, tell me who gained and lost at the weekend.
Well, The first winner was obviously Andrej Babiš and his ANO party. Babiš he started up this party. It's Union of Dissatisfied Citizens, which spells out ANO, and ANO means yes in Czech, so some very clever acronyms there. He came onto the scene in 2013 and finished second in those elections. And ever since then, largely since, say, 2014 or 2015, he's been leading the polls. I mean, his victory on Saturday was certainly no surprise to any of us watching. What was a bit more of a surprise is that he won by a few more percentage points than some of us, myself included, were expecting. So he was obviously the big winner. He basically won every Czech region. He took just about 30% of the vote, whereas his next competitor, the center-right Euroskeptic Civic Democrats, took only 11%. So, I mean, he was miles ahead of every other party. And the party that was in charge, the party that was in charge after the last elections, the Social Democrats, they lost more than half of their support. They dipped below 8% in there. Their vote totals came out worse than the communists of all people. So,
dear, oh dear. Now, I understand that, like Trump, he has a sort of Russian connection. He's sort of Kremlin friendly, and I find that someone in that category succeeding in the Czech Republic, breathtaking.
With Babiš, it's hard to say how pro-Russian or what his Russian connections are or his Kremlin friendliness. I mean, I've pointed out to people that yes, he's had a few business connections. He like some people in this part of the world, he thinks that the time for sanctions on Russia is done. He thinks the EU sanctions on Russia, their time has come and gone. But at the same time, he's not anti-EU. Yes, he is Eurosceptic, but the best way I can put it is that he knows where his bread is buttered, and that's on and with the EU. So yes, I think he does have some sympathies towards what might be deemed pro-Kremlin positions, particularly on sanctions. But I think a lot of that from him is a bit of a bit of bluster. I think when it comes down to it, he's going to work more, push back against the EU a bit, but he's going to work more with the EU than all of a sudden become some Russian Trojan horse. I don't think that's even remotely on the cards
here. I don't think you regard him as an extremist, do you?
No, I certainly don't think he's an extremist at all. I don't think most people do. He's not. I've talked to a few journalists and other people here over the last few days. One journalist I was speaking to, who, unlike me, he's had the pleasure of interviewing Babish in person. And Babish, above all, he is not an ideological person. He's not an ideologue. He's a very pragmatic person. But at the same time, he's used to being the top dog. He's used to being the boss in the room. He's used to saying and then doing. He's not a big fan of sitting around and talking about the issues, i.e. what a parliament normally does. He's interested in getting the deal done, getting his interests taken care of. But because he's not particularly ideological, there is room for him to compromise on things that where somebody who's more ideological probably would put their foot down on.
Michael, hardly a program passes when we're not addressing an election somewhere. And the other night we were talking about the Japanese election. Mm-hmm. Enter, in Prague, a character with a Japanese name, Tomio Okamura. And he was the other mm-hmm. big winner in the election. And I mentioned some of his views. Tell me a bit about him.
He's been around for a few years as well. In the last election, his previous party was DON, Direct Democracy Party, got about 7% of the vote. And this time he got just under 11% of the vote. So his vote share certainly did increase. But it's interesting where you look at where some of the estimates and research has come out over the last few days, where Okamura has got a lot of his support, or where he won votes from. He won a good chunk of people who hadn't voted in 2013. He actually took a lot of votes away from the Communist Party. And in looking at the electoral map,
who could hardly afford to lose them?
Yes, exactly. And if you look at on the map of the Czech Republic, where Okamura's party did quite well, it's in some of those same regions where the Communist Party has traditionally done well. It's regions of this country, for example, the Northwest, that's been deindustrialized. For historical reference, the former Sudetenland, for anybody who wants to look at their high school history books. And also, his party and the Communists do better in parts of Moravia that are also deindustrialized. So he, like the Communists, done better in more deprived areas.
We've got to move on to people like Duterte and Mugabe shortly, but I'm wondering why the immigrant issue resonated in the Czech Republic, because, as you point out, there's not a significant immigration problem.
It's very interesting how fear of Islam and fear of Muslims and migrants in particular really percolates through the politics of this country. I've been writing about this issue over this year. There's barely, at best, maybe 20,000 Muslims in this entire country, and this is a country of almost 11 million people. But the way, especially since the migrant crisis kicked off in 2015, the way that Islam as a whole has been presented in Czech media has been almost uniformly negative. There really is this impression among a lot of Czech voters, left, right, however they might want to identify themselves, there really is this fear that any significant or insignificant, any influx of anybody who's Muslim or migrated in this country is all of a sudden going to lead to Paris-like terror attacks. And obviously that's not the case. And it's something that I think has deep roots, but it's something at the same time in the last few years that's been whipped up by a media that presents this picture of Islam as just this frightening monolith, whereas anybody like in Australia or in Canada can tell you, of course, there are extremists here and there, but on the whole...
Oh, we've got our share, more than our fair share, Michael.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So it's... Sorry, go on.
We're running out of time, but how should the wider world see the result of the weekend as a part of a general trend towards populism?
To some extent, but I would be wary of placing Babish too far into this trend of right-wing populism, like with Trump or with Brexit or anything like that, because a lot of what I think has got Babish to where he is just dissatisfaction with the political system in this country, dissatisfaction with corruption, which is still, it's not as bad as other countries, but it's still an issue here. And because of Babish's his views and just his business first approach and not being an ideologue, I don't think he quite fits into the mold of, say, a Viktor Orban in Hungary or Kaczynski in Poland.
Michael, but, we've got to wind it up. It's great to talk to you. Give my best to Wenceslas Square, the voice of Michael Colburn, Canadian freelance journalist based in the beautiful city, the heartbreakingly beautiful city of Prague. LNL on RN.